And we're live.
Welcome back, everyone. Episode 67 of Kids Deserve It. We hope you've been enjoying our weekly chats with educators and game changers from around the country. Also, don't forget, you can check out our show on iTunes.
And don't forget our new competition on iTunes as well. If you leave a review for our show on iTunes with your Twitter handle present, we will select a winner every week who's going to win a KDI book swag set.
Also, don't forget to join our Kids Deserve It chat on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This week, we got another great guest, but first, we want to introduce ourselves. I am Adam Welcome, Director of Innovation in the Bay Area of California.
I'm Todd Nesloney, Elementary School Principal in Navasota, Texas. And we are so thrilled this week to welcome our guest, Joe Dombrowski, on the show. Joe, thanks for being with us this week.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
We also want to remind our viewers to participate in social media using the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt, as we always like to read about the things that stick out to you, whether you're watching the show live or you are checking out the recording later.
So, questions for you. So, for those who don't know about you, tell us about yourself.
I'm Joe Dombrowski. I teach fourth grade in Royal Oak, Michigan. I have taught fourth grade for the past 5 years. I used to teach in West Bloomfield, Michigan. Undergraduate work in language arts, elementary education from Central Michigan. And I completed my master's from Oakland University in educational administration. So nice. A little bit about me.
Awesome. Well, Joe, I know that recently you went kind of viral with the spelling video that you did. I think we're at over like almost 19 million views now, but you're kind of known for doing a lot of things in your classroom that kind of bring back the fun element and that just have kids wanting to be at school. What is something that you've done recently that you're really proud of?
Well, you know, the video itself, that was just something that I do, you know, every day I do a different transition. So that's to be the one that I recorded and went viral. I'm proud that everyone can see that, like, the kids are having fun and I was having fun. But other than that, I actually read your book last summer, and there was a short section in there that was all about lunchtime DJs. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Yep.
So I read that. And with it, and I started a full-time DJ program at my school. So the year before, our BIS team was meeting, and we were talking, we're sitting there, and we're like, man, lunchtime is out of control. You
know, hey, Joe, I hate to interrupt you, but is there any way that you can kind of like move towards a window? I know you're on your phone. You're kind of breaking up a little bit. So we wanted to make sure we had good audio with that because I'm missing parts of what you were saying.
Move towards a window.
we're moving in action here.
I'm outside in Orlando. There might be turkeys that come up this window.
Turkeys. So I know you're talking about your radio DJ thing, which is something that we mentioned in Kids Deserve It, like you said, from Brad Gustafson, a principal of ours, friend of ours in Minnesota. So talk to us about what you were doing with that.
Yep. So he's getting a little crazy. Kids are kind of, you know, we have things going on to make it more structured, make it better. And then I read about lunchtime DJ program in your book, and so I kind of ran and read a little about it. And we started the lunchtime DJ program at our school. What's happening is every week throughout the week, they show.
Yeah, we're missing you, Joe. Where it's really breaking up really bad. I can't hear anything of what you're saying hardly.
No, still.
Yeah. Maybe turn off the video for a minute. Maybe if we just focus on the audio, we can get that side. Maybe it's just trying to pull too much data.
Anything?
So try again with the DJ thing.
Can you hear me at all? Are we good?
Yes, it's much better.
Now. Okay. We started a lunchtime DJ program to kind of like improve behaviors that were happening at lunch. And so what we do is students throughout the week, when they're showing positive lunch behaviors, they can earn what we call Oaks tickets, which is positive behavior rewards. And they put those in two different boom boxes, which are where your positive rewards go. And then every Friday morning, we pull out of the boom box to pull two students who will join me on Friday on stage to be the lunchtime DJ. So there's an upper L and a lower L student who join me. And basically, when you have the opportunity to be up there, we have a DJ booth that one of the dad kindergarten dads built. It lights up with LED lights. It's got our Oakland Elementary logo on there. And they sit behind there and we just spin the beats. There's a microphone. They get to do shout outs to all their friends who are sitting out in the audience. And usually we end lunch with the last 4 minutes-ish being kind of a little dance party in there for all the kids. And then they go back to their seats and they clean up and we head out back to their classrooms. And it's crazy how the behavior problems during lunchtime have completely dropped. Kids look forward to it. They love it. They want to be there on Friday for lunch. They want that opportunity to be the DJ up there with me. And it's like, totally changed the game of lunch at our school. It's pretty great. So I'm pretty proud of that.
It sounds like something that would be awesome for the kids to be a part of, and they just have total complete ownership of it too.
Yeah, they love it for sure.
I love it. I've always said for years the best discipline program is an engaged classroom, and I guess the best discipline lunch program is an engaged lunchroom where the kids are, as you would say, spinning the beats, man. I love it. So Joe,
that was exactly it.
Yeah. How do you work in making sure your students, you know, feel valued and that they have a voice?
So I started really doing some reading on making on students having their voice and students being able to express themselves and be themselves. So one of the things that I really got into last school year was being able to publish student work. How can I do that? How can I do that as a teacher who's not a publisher? I started looking at the outlets that I had. So I started doing mystery Skype with classrooms around the world, really. And to publish their work, I started using Periscope also. So their parents could tune in, their grandparents could tune in, anybody on mystery Skype could be able to show off their work. But not only that, I had the students stop reflections about mystery Skype, and then I took their writing and I posted it to my blog. And they were just mind blown when teachers from across the country or just sitting there writing back to their work, praising them and how well they did. They took ownership for that. And, you know, they really appreciated seeing that what they did mattered. It was so cool to watch their reactions to that. That was a really good one.
That's awesome. I love how you're giving them a voice and empowering them. So for you personally, what is one thing that you're working on growing in this year?
I'm working a lot right now on, social emotional learning and how important that is in the classroom, you know, really being in touch with students as a human first and being able to get in touch with who they are and making sure that they feel respected and valued and always keeping at the front of my mind that this student came to school with something that happened before they walked into my classroom, whether that be positive or negative, something happened and I don't know what that was. So I'm trying to be like really cognizant about their behaviors right away when I see them, picking up on those little cues. You know, if someone comes in with a sad face, it's right away, boom, we're having a dance party because you are going to change that around when we're coming in right now. So here we go. So just being like really on top of it with that stuff. I have some students, and we've all had the students who sometimes get a little bit frustrated with their work and don't really know how to work with their own personal emotions and frustrations. So I've started slowly building up kind of a little caddy of knickknacks and fidgets and things for them to get their mind off of it and to work with. And I actually just yesterday bought a tiny Zen garden for one student that I have in mind particularly. Nice. And when he gets a little bit frustrated with his work or the assignments, I'm just going to give him the Zen garden. I'm going to be like, dude, take this in the hall, take your little rake, man, make some designs in there. When you're feeling good, come on back and we'll do this. So I think that's going to be awesome for them. So just really being in touch with students and what they came with the school with.
I love that. So Joe, what was school like for you growing up, man?
You know, I have a really interesting background. Really early on in education, I made the shift school into public education. And, you know, my experience in the private Catholic school was great. You know, I had a good time. I felt loved. And but it was a smaller school. And when I moved into public education, I'll never forget this. My mom describes it as I saw color for the first time. And I was able to connect what was happening. And I was in third grade. It was a brand new school, Beck Centennial Elementary and Utica Community Schools. And teacher, Mrs. Battlemente, was full of life. She was ready to go. She was ready to handle me with all my energy. And she did an awesome job. And I really did see color for the first time using technology, taking home, you know, geez, what were the first MacBooks and such, and Apple computers, and being able to use that technology and learn, and just seeing that really connect with me. So growing up, I really had those two experiences and just kind of ran with it as soon as I got where I was going. So it was great.
I love awesome. That. So what is something that you've accomplished in your career that you're just really proud of?
There's quite a few things. Specifically, I'm very proud of finishing my educational administration. You know, I've always, I love what I do in the classroom. I'm prepared to be in the classroom a little bit longer individually with those students and those groups of students. But I see a lot of teachers who sort of might be losing it, their spark a little bit, might not be happy with where they're at, or might be looking for a little bit of a different thing with what they're doing. And I think with administration, one of my goals really is going to be to help teachers not only find that life again, to really hone in on what are you good at? What makes you special in the classroom, and help teachers find why they originally started to be a teacher, because we all came into this crazy game for a reason. And when you hone in on that and you bring it, it's really truly what's best for all kids. So I think that I can really touch and make a bigger impact on more kids in an administrative role when I get there, to help teachers, you know, bring that life back in your classroom and really work with that and move forward. So I'm really happy about what I did with my master's work there. Ready to use it.
So speaking of teachers, Joe, what advice would you give teachers who are wanting to kind of get out of their comfort zones a little bit more?
Oh, man. Number one advice, just do it. Go for it. Find something that you really want to do that you may know a lot about and you haven't done yet, or something you don't know a lot about, and just run with it, because you will not know what happens until you try. When I used Periscope for the first time in my classroom, I had a few teachers who were kind of like, whoa, you're going to go live like to the world? And I was like, but what if, and you know, we can say what if all day, but what if what I did was positive? And what if what I'm about to do is going to be great? And what if these kids are going to learn like crazy from this one activity? And if I didn't take that risk, you know, they wouldn't have that experience. So my advice to any teacher who's looking for something like that, get an idea and run with it.
Well, Joe, you know, we all have those days where it's a rough day, or it's hard to get out of bed, or we're just frustrated with everything. What do you kind of do to kick your butt into gear on those kind of days?
Oh, man. Okay. So the number one thing that makes me so excited to be at work is I love watching and making the kids laugh. Because when they're laughing, they're having fun. And if they're having fun, they're going to learn. So for me personally, if I'm having a rough day, I always focus on one kid who's just kind of a little bit, who's kind of a little bit, you know, not having that day. What makes that kid laugh? When that kid starts laughing, it's a chain reaction. It all just starts going, you know.
I love that.
So making those kids laugh and doing it, it's just where it's at.
All right, Joe. Every week we like our guests to leave a challenge for our viewers. What is your challenge for the week?
All right. So, I started this year a program that my students love in my classroom. It's called Positive Snowballs. So how Positive Snowballs work is we sit around in a circle and everybody takes one piece of white paper and a clipboard, and you have three options. You can write a positive quote. You can write a compliment that pertains to any person, not just one individual. Or you can write a word of encouragement that has to do with anybody in the group. We take that piece of paper and we crumple it up into a ball, or like a snowball, and we walk around somewhere in the room. Then we freeze, you throw it as far away as you can, and then you pick up the one that's closest to you. Then we all come back to the circle, and one by one, everybody reads their positive snowball out to the group, and we keep them in our little positive snowball bin for the rest of the week. And if anyone's having a bad day or is down in the dumps for any reason, you're always welcome to go in the positive snowball bin, grab one, read it to yourself, read it to a friend, and turn your day back around. I wasn't quite sure the kids were going to react to this at first, but I'll tell you what, they love it. And why is that? Because it makes them feel so good, and they love feeling good like that. So my challenge for the week is if you could find 5-10 minutes somewhere in your week this week, you try that positive snowball activity and really start making those students really understand their self-worth and just how great of kids they are.
I love it. I think that is such an easy thing, but such a great thing that you can do with those kids. Well, thank you so much, Joe, for coming on with us today. I really appreciate you giving us some of your time.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
And we want to thank everybody for watching the show. And remember to tweet us using the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt or @KidsDeserveIt on social media. We encourage you to go onto iTunes and leave a review as we select a winner every week to win an autographed book set from us. And make sure that you check out our guest on next week's show, which is author Shelley Burgess of the just-released book Lead Like a Pirate. Hope everybody has a great week.